at verse 4, please, of 1 John chapter 5. It says here, "For every child of God defeats the evil world by trusting Christ to give the victory." So faith in Christ overcomes the world. That's what we're talking about overcoming, is the world. It goes on to say in verse 5, "And the ones who win this battle against the world are the ones who believe that Jesus is the Son of God." And then down in verse 11, and this is what God has testified, "He has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son." Verse 12, "So whoever has God's Son has life. Whoever does not have His Son does not have life." So faith in Christ gives us eternal life. Now, I'm going to go past our scripture reading this morning down to verse 13. Look at that, please, if you would. "I write this," and this is John writing this, and John says, "I write this to you who believe in the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life." That's the reason he's writing this, that you may know or have assurance that you have eternal life. And he goes on to say, "And we can be confident that he will listen to us whenever we ask him for anything in line with his will." Verse 18. "We know that those who have become part of God's family do not make a practice of sinning, for God's Son holds them securely." That's important. For God's Son holds us securely. "And the evil one cannot get his hands on them." We're protected from the evil one. "We know that we are children of God and that the world around us is under the power and the control of the evil one." Is that news for anybody? That this world is under the power and control of the evil one. That might come as news to some people. But it explains why the world is the way it is. Take a look around you. Look at the world. And you can see the way it is. Now, the reason that it's the way it is, sin entered the world through Adam. All have sinned. We may not like it if we're called a sinner, but we are. God's Word says we are. David wrote this in Psalm 51, verse 5. "For I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me." That means that we are sinners from the time of conception. Before we've actually been born, we are classified as a sinner. There's only one child that was born without sin, and that was Jesus. And that's because he didn't have an earthly father. If there were any way of having a DNA test back in the time when Jesus was born, they would have found probably that his blood was different than everyone else's blood, because it was innocent. Everyone else's blood is sin-tainted. Matthew 15:18 says this, and these are the words of Jesus. "Evil words come from an evil heart and defile the person who says them. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all other sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander." That is the heart that we're born with. That's our human nature. Now, why is the world like it is? Well, the world's made up of people like you and I. And that's why it says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, "Stop loving this evil world and all it offers you. For when you love the world, you show that you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only the lust for physical pleasure, the lust for everything we see, and pride in our possessions. In the King James Version, that says pride of life. Do you understand what that means? It means that if you are proud of your life, you don't have any hope of being a child of God because you're too proud of your life. Jesus said you must hate your life if you're going to be my follower. These things all come from this evil world. Verse 17, it says, but this world is fading away along with everything it craves. This world's going to pass away and everything in it, and the day of the Lord will come. 2 Peter 3, verse 10 says this, the day of the Lord will come, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. And then the question's asked in verse 11, what kind of people ought you to be? The answer is, you ought to be holy and godly people. And how do we be godly and holy people when we're born sinners, have a natural, sinful nature? Can our sinful nature overcome our sinful nature? I don't think so. But God has provided a way for us to overcome. John 3, chapter 3, turn there please. This is the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Verse 3. Nicodemus approaches Jesus. And Jesus says this, I assure you, unless you are born again, you can never see the kingdom of God. The truth is, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and of the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives new life from heaven. So don't be surprised about my statement, you must be born again. Just as you can hear the wind blow but can't tell where it's coming from or where it's going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. That's a mystery. He's telling Nicodemus, you can't understand how it happens, but that's what must take place. You must be born again of the Spirit. And then he goes on to say how he must be lifted up on a pole that is on the cross, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. That is, trust in or has faith in Jesus. That's what that means. Believe in. So then we come to verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. The next four Sundays, Ernest is going to use the Max Lucado. He did this just for you. These are the Sundays leading up to Lent, and we'll look forward to those Sundays as well. What Jesus did just for each one of us. Verse 18. There is no judgment awaiting those who trust him. Let's go back to, I'll go back to it. I don't want you flipping back and forth too much, but verse 4. For every child of God defeats this evil world by trusting Christ to give the victory. That's what that means. There is no judgment awaiting those who trust Christ. But then it goes on to say, but those who do not trust him have already been judged. In the King James, it says, or in maybe in the NIV too as well, have been condemned already for not believing in the only Son of God. And their judgment is based on this fact that light came into the world and they loved the darkness, that is, they loved their sin, more than the light, for their actions were evil. They hate the light because they want to sin in the darkness. They don't want to be exposed. They stay in the light, or stay away from the light, rather, for their sins will be, they stay away from the light for fear their sins will be exposed and they will be punished. But those who do what is right come to the light gladly, so everyone can see that they are doing what God wants. That's a very important verse, that one. The NIV puts it this way: whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. Whatever we do has something behind it, whether it's our sinful nature or whether it is the new life that Christ has given us. Something is leading us to do what we do. And as much as we can try to do the right thing, if we're only out there going on our own without Christ, the Bible says our filth, or our righteousness, the best we can do on our own, is as dirty rags. So it comes down to this, that what we have to have is Christ within us, the new life within us, and it is Christ who is doing the work. We're only the instrument. And so we then see that Christ is doing good through us, and we give Christ all the credit. There's no credit to ourselves. So this is witnessing for Christ, if you want to look at it that way. And that's what it is. And if we say we're a Christian and we're witnessing bad things in our life, we're actually dishonoring Christ. I often think, what it would be like if we went around with a great big sign on us saying, "I am a Christian." Would it make any difference to the way we live out there? People would see the sign, "I'm a Christian." Think about it. I'm going to have to cut out a whole bunch of scripture here because time is not giving me I don't have the time. Down in Romans 12, it says this: "Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Do you know what the new covenant says? The new covenant says that I will write my laws in their mind, and I will give them hearts of flesh and take away their hearts of stone. In Romans 8, it says this: "There is no condemnation now for those who belong to Jesus Christ, that is, those who have faith in Christ. For the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you through Jesus Christ from the power of sin that leads to death." Under the old laws that were given to Moses, there's no way that humans could keep the laws because they didn't have the Spirit there in order to keep them. So therefore, they led to death. But now, under the dispensation of the Spirit, we call it the dispensation of grace, which it is, but it is the dispensation rather of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ living within us gives us the power to overcome the old nature that we were born with, and in that way overcome the world. That's the whole secret. That's the key to the whole Christian life is the indwelling Christ. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:45, the first Adam became a living being. The last Adam, a living or a life-giving spirit. In other words, he was raised from death so he could give us life. So, what do we have to overcome? We have to overcome our old nature. And in doing so, we overcome the world. How do we do that? By inviting Christ into our life. The power by which we can overcome our old nature and the ways of the world. There's one scripture that has sort of become a favorite scripture of mine. If I can find it now. Anyways, the second... here. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. And it says here, now the Lord is that Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, He gives freedom. Freedom from our old selves. Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. And that's why He came. He said, when Jesus spoke one sermon, He said that he come to set the captives free. Well, they almost threw him over the cliff at that time, but anyway, that's what He said. He came to set the captives free. Some of us seem to get the idea, it seems, that now that we're under grace, we can go about sinning, and what Jesus did for us on the cross is all that was necessary. We can go on sinning. We can live our lives to please ourselves. But that's not the way it is. That's not what God's saying to us. And Paul said, now that grace has come, does that give us a license to sin? God forbid, he says. But God has given us a way. A person going up along a road, and there's a guy in this quicksand on the side of the road, and the guy on the side says, well, I've got myself stuck here. And the guy going along the road, he says, well, okay, I'll save you. But he never pulls him out of the quicksand. That's not the way it is with the Lord. The Lord wants to pull us out of the sin that has got us into the situation that we're in, and the way that we're in, our old nature will take us down to the death. In fact, it will take us to the second death. And if you want to read about the second death, it's in Revelation 21, verse 8, I believe it is. But anyway, I'm going to end up now because my time's run out. I want to read now why must we be overcomers, or why should we be overcomers, or what's the incentive to be an overcomer? Well, you can put up with this world the way it is, you can live the way of the world, and you can come to the fate of those who live that way, and that is the second death. Or you can take the promises of God, of Christ, and run with them. And this is the inheritance of those who overcome their sinful nature and the evil world that we live in. It's found in Revelation 21. And this is what it says. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was gone, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a beautiful bride prepared for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, the home of God is now among His people. He will live with them, and they will be His people. God Himself will be with them. He will remove all their sorrows, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain, for the old world and its evils are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, Look, I am making all things new. And then he said to me, Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. And he also said, It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give the springs of the water of life without charge. All who are victorious, all who are overcomers and victorious, will inherit all these things. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. Thanks be to God for what He's done for us.